Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode we are talking about is The Gossip, which is episode 24 of season one, which aired March 24th, 1952. Of course, directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr., and was actually filmed February 15th. So it looks like they take about a month. So the synopsis here is Lucy and Ethel bet Ricky and Fred breakfast in bed for a month that they can't stop gossiping. Just to be sure that they'll win, the boys plant a juicy story about neighbor Grace Foster running away with the milkman. And this plot is really based on the Gossip episode of Lucille Ball's radio show, My Favorite Husband, except that the bet was $25 in that breakfast in bed. And this one was broadcast September 9th, 1950.
That was episode 96.
Episode 96. Okay. So, Ziva, do you gossip? That's what everybody wants to know.
That was like one of my first questions. And then I put something really depressing. I guess it's not depressing as much as I just don't have a specific friend group, right? That like all know each other, which they did back then. And you can tell in this video, like all my friends are their separate people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know one from college and one from a job. There's no need to guess, you know, gossip, because I would say something about someone and they'd be like, okay, cool. Don't know who you're talking about. Don't care. Not invested. My husband has a big friend group. They have like a group chat and everything.
Yeah.
And I would put money down to say that they probably gossip about each other. I feel like I've heard some of it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't personally, because I don't have anyone to gossip about that would care, you know?
Yeah.
Care to hear it. What about you?
No, I'm the same. I really don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable just when people start gossiping. And I don't, much like you, maybe it's the reason that we're doing this podcast, but I don't.
Right.
I think we discovered something therapeutic here just happened, is I don't have a big group of friends or girlfriends like that. And the people I do surround myself with are not really gossiping, you know, type people. And I don't enjoy gossiping about others. Like in this episode we're about to hit on, it's talking about somebody else's, you know, love life or whatever. But maybe with your spouse, you do kind of like, did you hear so-and-so's getting divorced? You know, it's like, wow, I wonder what
happened there.
Fair
enough. I feel like
that's fine.
I feel like gossiping to that extent, yes. Like, and with family, I don't think enough of my family listen to this that I would get in trouble for that. But like, you know, there's always the family gossip.
Right.
And, you know, so that I can I can say we do, but I don't know if it's gossiping as much as just sharing information that we have, you
That's
know,
how Lucy describes gossiping.
But I feel like gossiping is something that goes, you know, from person to person to person, and you spread it around
malicious.
In the hopes that it will get spread more, you know, like,
yeah.
Whereas when I tell my husband something, it really is just like, let's talk about, you know, whatever it is we, you know, talking about.
So with this episode, that's how the show opens, is she is gossiping on the phone with her friend Marge. And she's in an
airport. She's just lounging.
And they're both so dressed up just to be lounging at home.
Right. I was gonna say he's in this like smoke, is it like a smoking jacket?
Because
it seems too short to be a robe.
Yeah.
But then I was like, but he has a tie on, like a buttoned up shirt that's like buttoned up to the collar and a tie. And I was like, that just, if you're gonna be comfortable with the smoking jacket on, then be comfortable all the way. Right? Like, don't be half comfortable. And then I'm sorry, but this is one of the episodes where I'm like, what is Lucy wearing? Because it almost looks like she has a robe wrapped around the back.
Well, it looks like it's kind of a skirt. She kind of has this look throughout, I guess, just her fashion sense, not just on the show, but just even when she's out and about as Lucille Ball. She has, you know, slacks and like this skirt thing that goes around, kind of like a
feminine, like from the back and mask,
like a backwards apron almost.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, it looks like she put an apron on backwards.
Yeah, like a backwards apron, and then she's.
It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. It's cute on some of them because there are some where she's wearing this like an elegant dress type thing, and it's got pants. Yeah, she's very infamous for the
that I can get behind.
You know, half and half look, but this one was a little like
this one's just a bit
threw
weird.
Anything on.
This one is like, you have to feel effeminate, so I'm going to put this on, but this the rest apron. Of it is just comfortable. Yeah.
So she's gossiping about her friend Betty with Marge. And one of, I think, my favorite, you know, quips back and forth is, she didn't, she couldn't. And it was Ricky say.
I don't remember what did
maybe
he say.
That's why she, that's
maybe
why
she didn't. She didn't. Or, yeah. I know he like butted into the conversation and yeah. She was like,
yeah. He just ignores and moves on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's laying there gossiping. He's not liking the fact that she's gossiping. He's in earshot of her doing that. And so she hung up because Betty walked in. That's the only reason they hung up.
And then she says, I wonder what they're saying about me. I love that.
Yeah. And she said, Ricky says, I want to talk to you about gasping.
Gasping.
And he thinks it's the lowest form of human life. Oh, so do I. He's talking about you. And, you know, so I think he says birds of a feather smell the same.
Yeah. And then she gets it wrong, too, which I love because she says a rose by any other name flocks together.
That's one thing I love is that they take Desi's, you know, not knowing American phrases and you know, quips, and he probably really doesn't know them. So he messes them up maybe in real life and they use it as Ricky. It's just, I love that. But, and the look on her face when he's trying to figure out what he means.
He's like, well, let's see if you cannot tell Ethel. So this isn't the full bet yet. This is just, like, let's see if you can
hold
refrain
off.
From yeah. telling Ethel what you have just been talking about, mm-hmm. because they're coming up and obviously she's gonna tell that Ethel. So Lucy's like, all right, I won't say a word, not one word. And so she disappears and the merch has come up. They walk in and I love how Ricky really just primes it, right? He's like, Lucy just got off the phone and she's got this really juicy piece of gossip. Like he really wants to get Ethel, you know, involved.
They really want to make women look bad is what they're doing. Cause you can't, just a little piece of juicy gossip and she starts like salivating at the idea.
Oh yeah. Turns around. What, who, what, where, something, you know.
She's
and
built,
so
her lips are sealed.
Yeah. And she comes out with tape over her mouth. And so she starts doing pantomime, which she was really good at. We've talked about this before. I mean, it's a
physical comedy.
The physical comedy of it, the fact that she's, you know, willing to use all of her body to just tell this story. There is a game that came out that specifically it like had her on the box. It's called Body Language, a Party Pantomime Word Game. Now, I don't know if it was created because of Lucy or if it was already made
in
existence. And then they put Lucy on it because she was just so amazing at doing that.
I would, if I could just chip in all, you know, my winnings here in Vegas, I would ask for one afternoon of that body language game with Lucille Ball. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh my goodness.
The phrases and the difference, you know, like the story we're about to talk that she told Ethel. Oh, that would be just heavenly.
Honestly, we don't even need to play. The game would be good. Just an afternoon with Lucille Ball.
Oh, that's true. That's
anything.
True.
Any.
Well, now you're going to make me cry. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, Ethel's like, what's with the tape? I hear you have some gossip, you know, and so she can't, you know, here's what I find interesting. Yeah, go on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that Body Language was actually a show, which makes me want to look up the show.
Interesting.
That would have been fun. So she went onto the game show Body Language and then promoted the box game by the same name.
Interesting.
So I feel like we're gonna need to look that up. I'm gonna look up that show.
Yeah, we'll post if we can.
If we can find it, we'll post some
clip from it.
Like a clip from it.
So what I find interesting is that she, when you know, Ricky says, Lucy says her lips are sealed, she's not gonna say anything. She doesn't question that she walks out. I mean, she doesn't know the conversation that just happened before they walked in. So she doesn't even question why she has this tape on her on her mouth. Like,
it's her friend. She doesn't need to question.
She doesn't need anything. It's Lucy. Is there really a reason? So she starts miming or pantomiming, as you said, this story of gossip, juicy gossip she just got. And it was about Betty and her husband, Jack. And, you know, it's like performative gossiping, I like to call it.
I was going to say before, I mean, I guess this is where they're guessing the names. And we could talk a little bit about the names.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
She talks about Blanche, who never showed up. There was never a Blanche in the show. Now, I'm going to feel real stupid if I get this wrong, but Blanche was a character on Golden Girls, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No. I heard that name and I went, oh wait, I know that. I think Dorothy and Luann were the three that she guessed before she guessed Betty.
Yes.
Now Luann is Luann Hall.
Yes.
And she, we hear about her in The Charm School, which is season 3, episode 15.
I love Dorothy. That episode.
I love that episode. We love almost all of them. Almost. Dorothy is Lucy and Ethel's single friend. So Dorothy Cook, we see her in The Matchmaker. That's season 4, episode 4. And then, as I mentioned, Blanche isn't anyone that shows up in the TV series. She is a well-known famous character on the George Byrne and Gracie Allen show, which preceded I Love Lucy. So that might have been why there wasn't that, you know, a big character named Blanche on the story. So we could talk about the lines if you want.
Oh yes.
So
she guesses that it's Betty. And then she, of course, she, you know, for the audience on YouTube, she plays, you know, she kind of does a thing with her hand to show that there's a ring on it.
Married.
And she's first she's like pointing at Fred at Ricky. And Ricky. She's like, Betty and Fred? Betty and Ricky? Yeah. No, Betty and her husband, Jack.
Yeah, because she did the little steeple with all the people. Did you used to do that?
No.
You know that it's like the steeple and then... is going to write it because they're going to remember. It was this like little game. Yeah. There's steeple and then it keeps going. And then at the end you go with all the people in it or some, I don't know. Oh, okay. It was weird. Okay. Anyways.
So then she says, no, it's her husband, Jack.
Yes.
Okay. So what about them? Already she's just interested and fascinated. Tell me what's going on with this marriage.
So invested. So you find out that Betty and Jack had a fight about another woman. I love how she guesses a vase. She goes like,
oh, yes.
Like a vase?
The shape of a woman.
Nope. Betty went to the club and she saw Jack with the other woman. They were
dancing
and drinking, right? And then kissing.
She's like,
I think.
The whole time Ethel's got her mouth open. She's just,
she's so involved. She's so involved. So Betty gets really angry. She goes over and she starts yelling at Jack. They start fighting. Or no, the women start fighting.
Yeah, well, right? First she's so like two women. She's got her finger in like in their faces, you know, Betty does.
Yeah, and she's yelling at them at Jack. And then the two women start fighting and Jack's like, okay, break it up. And the women start beating up on him.
Now, what I like before they start beating up on him, she does the whole like, I can't do it without
the fight between the two women.
Yeah, no, but before that, she acts out Jack's part and she looks over to him like, come on, give her a break. You know, she's kind of like, their hand or calm down. You're the problem here, sir.
Yeah.
And so they start fighting and he tries to separate them and they all attack Jack, the husband.
Yes, they attack Jack. And then that's when the police officer comes in. And when she starts pantomiming the police officer, the men start
joining in.
Yeah, so Fred guesses the doorman. Fred guesses the doorman. Mm-hmm. Ricky's the one who guesses
policeman,
the police officer.
Right.
And so the rest of the story, guys, the police officer comes, takes the women, puts them in the Black Mariah, which is the slang term for the police paddy wagon. Mm-hmm. Is a vehicle designed to transport several criminals at once. Have you ever seen a paddy wagon in real life?
Not like where I'm in front of it, but it does remind me of I do know they still exist. They're still mm-hmm. in use. I just know it's a horrible story, but of a suspect who kind of died in one of those because of the way that the paddy wagon was. Are they still called that today, by the way? Are we just using an old fashioned term? Okay.
Yeah, police probably
vehicle.
Police vehicle.
Was, you know, moving about. But and I, when I heard that news story maybe 2-3 years ago, was shocked that those still exist. Now, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, it'd be an SUV.
There's riots.
Like you want to break up a party or a gang fight, you know, you probably throw in a few people as opposed to just one or two in a car. But
have you ever been at a party that was broken up by a police?
I think I asked you, have you ever been in a paddy wagon?
No. Let's go into our criminal history.
Like,
non-existent, guys.
I told you. But,
No, a party that was broken up. I feel like that's more common.
I'm not that wild a woman.
Oh my gosh.
I podcast about Lucy. How wild do I possibly get?
I have a story, but it was more like I was dragged. So I was in college and my friend was like, hey, do you want to go to a party in Akron?
Right.
And I went, no, not really. I don't. And they're like, well, can you drive us? Sure. So if I'm going to drive you, I might as well go to the party. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the party. It was broken up by police, like they threw tear gas. Someone flipped a car and set it on fire. Like it got really crazy, really quickly. Someone jumped off the roof of the house.
Wow. Ooh,
and we had just gotten there. I mean, we were there for like 5 minutes and the police showed up. And I was like, well, time to go back home.
Wow, no, I've never been. That was worth it.
I literally just got a story from it. We hadn't even gotten drinks yet. Like we just got there. Anyways.
Wow, that's crazy. So they
threw
them in there.
Well, no, he nicely.
Oh, that's right. The women he does this thing. Like,
and then he throws his jacket. He drive away with the siren on, and so she like. Drives away and comes
she
back
makes
with the tape
noise.
Off.
She finally takes her tape off
because she already told
the gossip,
the story, so she can. And so the men are like, see what lengths women will go through. Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, as they're trying to make this point, right, Ricky starts gossiping.
Joe and what a wolf he is.
Joe, in the band. And they start gossiping. They like get into this whole conversation. And so Lucy goes, thank you, Hedda and Lolly, mm-hmm. which is a reference to the gossip columnist, gossip columnist Hedda Hopper.
Yes.
And her rival, Luella.
Okay.
Parsons? I don't know. But Hedda Hopper actually played herself in an episode on season 5. Yes. I don't
remember. We're very familiar with Hedda Hopper. She's the one with the crazy hats. Remember, that's why they were jumping into the pool, hoping to get into the newspaper some publicity in LA. Okay. And Ziva, Ziva's freaking out.
I don't remember the episode.
Yes, if you remember, they were trying to get publicity. Lucy's got this big beautiful dress on and she keeps the plot is to her jump into the pool but accidentally fall and Ricky saves her, and that would be the headline to give him more publicity. So they know that Hedda Hopper's in the hotel, and every time a butler walks by with a bouquet of flowers on the other side of the wall, they think it's her because she wears these big crazy floral hats. And fast forward, they end up doing this the whole skit in the pool. She never shows up. They're all wet, and this whole time she was friends with Lucy's mother, who she met on the plane. And she ends up meeting him in the hotel room. And Ziva, I think you have no idea where I'm going with that.
I really don't. Oh, I feel so bad. I can't remember it.
Wait till we get to the LA one. Look, although anybody listening
in
right
a year
now is like,
3 years.
What? Is there probably following along with?
I know. They're going to start sending me hate mail.
Yeah. So
Anyways.
And she also is on the first Lucy and Desi Comedy Hour.
No, listen, I need to be 100% open here, but I don't know that I've ever watched more than like one of the Lucy and Desi Comedy Hour because I can't find them anywhere. I can't find them. Like, yeah, I can't buy them. I can't find them streaming anywhere. Right. So it's, I don't think it's my fault, guys. I also don't have like TV. So if they run as reruns,
I don't have the TV. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I actually sat and watched television. It's usually streaming or downloaded.
So, yeah, well, if you guys know where to find the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, tell me and I will watch it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yes, they're like, well, you know what? We could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not our life. What did he call it?
Life's blood.
Life's blood, yeah. And I love how she goes, well, you guys aren't exactly anemic.
Right. Which, by the way, I am anemic, so it's kind of like, hey, what does that mean? Really? Oh, hey, high five.
Yay, anemia. Oh, my gosh.
We'll pass out. Okay, so they, you know, and he's trying to prove that men gossip too. And he talks about Joe the wolf and Joe and what a wolf he is, which of course means like a womanizer. And the other members that are all trying to be with, is it Nancy the harpist?
This week it's Nancy the harpist. Last week, one of the girls in the trio. The week before that was the hat check girl.
It's around Joe.
He's just getting around. Yeah. So
this way through the club. And so, you know, they do sort of a bet of that they
sort
can't,
of they it's can't a big bet, gossip. Guys, for the women. Now I say this because the men always get breakfast served to them hot in the morning. Right? They always get, maybe not in bed, but they always get a nice cooked full breakfast in the morning. Like the women don't.
The idea of breakfast in bed.
I was going to ask you that too. I think because I have it so rarely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it really is. It's like a birthday or a Mother's Day thing, right? It's a very rare occurrence. Right. And that means definitely now with the toddler, that means I get to eat in peace. I get to eat my own food. I cannot tell you how many times I don't get to eat a whole meal because Apollo always, like, I haven't had a meal in a year where he hasn't taken food off my plate. So, and I always share it. Colin's like, well, you share with him. So, like, well, he's asking. I can't say no. I mean, I could, but anyways. So it just means peace and relaxation. And so every once in a while, yes, I don't know that I would be happy to have a month worth in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'd want to have, if I could have like a month's worth, I'd want to be able to decide what days I got to use it. So like 30 days of breakfast in bed that you get to choose whenever you want.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I like the concept because it's supposed to be like, oh, you relax and here, you know, I'll serve you like Cleopatra or something. But the idea of like, here's some toast, and then you got crumbs on the bed.
I mean, are you a messy eater? I eat over my plate so I don't get crumbs on my bed.
Some of us eat like human beings, Erica. Maybe that's the problem. Kind of medieval.
Throwing the toast around. Yeah, I wouldn't like eating in bed then. No.
Have some yogurt. To see who will, you know, gossip first, or the other person, the men and the women, really, and serve each other breakfast in bed if they win. So then we cut to this drugstore that is always amazes me that it's filled with cigarettes. I know that the product placement is not lost on anyone there, but behind them, it's like boxes and boxes of cigarettes and some magazines.
Open, right? Just open. Now you can't do it anymore. You can't have that.
Yeah. So people, they're sitting steal there. Them.
But wait. There's more. So we were talking about the Philip Morris. Mm-hmm. They actually took out an ad that was, an I Love Lucy ad based off the ending of this.
like a comic
episode. Yeah, it looked like a comic. Mm-hmm. With, let's just, we haven't ever discussed this, but have you ever read any of the I Love Lucy comics?
Nope, I have not. I know they exist, but no, I have not.
They exist. I'm trying to find one that's not like $90 to buy one of, because they're so expensive. And I understand they're not in print anymore. And
I mean, I've seen them online. I haven't really read.
They're very expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, can you find them like online though? Like online, online?
Yeah, scanned maybe a few here and there.
Oh, but not like in bulk. I kind of want to have like a whole,
yeah,
or like one full book. Yeah, so they
took out Philip Morris to go.
But any, yeah. Yes, they did. And we can post a photo of that when we get to this episode. But so like, let's see. So they're at the drugstore and they're a little annoyed that the girls haven't broke, right?
Yeah. Surprised like, and annoyed.
Not a peep out of mine. You know, they're a little annoyed and they want this breakfast in bed because they're not served enough already. And was that a little petty?
No, you're right. It's true, because even if they, the fact that they have to win a bet to get this breakfast in bed, they don't. They just exist and they will get it anyway.
Right. They literally could just be like, that breakfast you make me every morning, please bring it to the bedroom for me.
And so they're sitting there, they're having, you know, this drugstore does pop up a few times. Also with the same Philip Morris advertising in the back and magazines.
We just saw it at the fight.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Neville fight. Yeah. So they are talking about how to get the women to break.
Yes. How to get them to gossip.
They are rigging. I put down, I was like, Ricky always says that Lucy comes up with crazy schemes, but he comes up with quite a few crazy schemes too.
Of his own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they come up with this very sneaky way to win this bet, because they can't just let it happen, and maybe because they're afraid they're going to lose.
So the idea is, okay, so who can we talk about just so we could say it in our sleep, like we're pretending to sleep talk. He says, how about Grace Foster? They're both jealous of her looks anyway. And of course, it's like, now, the Grace Foster that we eventually get to know, here they mention her as a blonde. We see her as a brunette in the anniversary gift or present, sorry, where she you know, works with the jewelry company, and that's why Ricky's calling her. So, you know, you can get an anniversary gift. And so they think something's going on with her. There's a lot of infidelities thrown around.
Around Grace Foster too. Like, my goodness.
This woman. And so that's the next time we see her. And this in that episode, Grace is played by Gloria Blondell. But we don't see her at all here. She's just mentioned. He's like, okay, Grace Foster. And who else? The milkman. And he's like, the milkman, that little bitty guy. He's so bashful because he's like a smaller man. So they make it, that makes it, you know, all that more juicy to talk about.
Yeah. So that's their idea. And they're like, well, just because at first they were going to just tell the women. Right. And then Fred goes, well, wait, if we do that, we'll be gossiping.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to say it in our, well, they get quiet. And that's when Ricky gets that, you know, he gets those big eyes. He's like, oh, I got it. And he, says, well, what about if we say it in our sleep? And so the next scene cuts to them in bed.
Well,
Ricky's plotting. I wrote down that you don't often get to see his St. Christopher necklace, but you see it a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode. But anyways, because he wears that all the time.
When Lucy was acting out the Jack and Betty story,
that pendant
had that pendant, yeah, which was,
I want to know what it is.
Yeah,
because I heard that it's pendant. One of her favorites. Yeah, but I was like, what's on? Is there anything on it? I'm guessing, but I wonder. Anyways, yes, he is plotting, and I love how he just tries to say the name first, and she doesn't wake up. And so he starts like thrashing Grace about.
Foster. It's just randomly saying the woman's name. And yeah, so she's fast asleep, so she doesn't hear a word that he's saying. The thrashing about he has to do in bed.
I love that, to wake her up.
Smacks her
and then
finally wake her up.
he starts talking, he starts telling the story, right? Starts speaking in Spanish. Mm-hmm. She's so, like, no, well, English.
What I love is that, you know, it starts off with Grace Foster. What about Grace Foster? Grace Foster is running away. Grace Foster is running away with. It's like one line at a time.
Go that's on, how go you speak on, don't in your sleep. Yeah, and he even goes, uh-huh, like he answers.
With the milkman, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then even when at the end, that is all. Okay.
Oh my gosh. That's comical. That should have been the giveaway right there. But she was too invested in the gossip to realize what was happening.
Super invested. Because I'm sure as soon as she started hearing it, she was like, oh, I got to tell Ethel. And so she gets up out of bed at 4 in the morning.
And this is like one of the first time, and I don't know if there's ever, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's another time where they do a voiceover like this. Because the voiceover is her and Ricky thinking. So she's thinking like, you know, maybe Ethel's awake at 4 a.m., you know. And
then, darn it, I can't because of the gossiping. Yeah, and then he even thinks that he's a stinker. Yeah. No, I don't think they do that ever again.
Another one.
Also her hair.
Oh, it's cute.
Before we move past this, she's got the little pigtails.
I love her hair in this one. It's really cute.
Really cute.
So the next morning.
The next morning they wake up.
Dying to tell because Fred did the same thing too.
Dying. And so the women come up to borrow a cup of sugar and flour respectively. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone over and asked to borrow someone's sugar?
Never once have I ever borrowed an ingredient, a condiment, or any sort of thing like that from a neighbor, but
that's what it was just an excuse to see each other.
Yeah, to see each other.
And talk. And then they realize, like, hey, we can't talk about this. And it takes a while for them to realize that they both know.
I love the realization when it
happens.
Oh,
yeah, because Lucy says, you know, finally they're like, oh, we're dull. We don't have anything to talk about, even though they do want to say something. And so they're about to leave. And Lucy says, you know, come back later. I have pudding. I'm making pudding or something. Mm-hmm. And Ethel goes, really, what kind? And she says,
Grace Foster.
Bam Fanny. No. And she goes, so you know.
You missed the, you skipped the part where the men purposely go down to listen to the furnace pipe.
Right. They're talking to each other. They say they ate up the whole story. Mm-hmm. They're still being devious and planning. And so, they go downstairs to listen to the women to see if they break. And obviously they do. Mm-hmm. Obviously they do. Yeah. And so, they go. So, because Lucy says, I heard she's moving to Mexico and settling in.
Well, I don't know if it's embellished. Steubenville. Or is it the part that Fred made
but
up?
Lucy says it.
Oh,
Lucy says, I heard they're moving to Mexico and settling in Steubenville. But he didn't say that. He said that is all after the very basic.
That's the dangers of gossiping. See, it's the game of telephone.
Because you just add more and more and more, right? You just add whatever you like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as soon as they're done, right, saying this, I get so excited. And then Fred is the first to speak. And he does this, you know, hello. Like he's like a ghost. Ethel. You should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah. And of course, Ricky does. So Lucy goes, you know, you have the loudest conscience I've ever heard.
This is your conscience.
Oh, great. Mine has an accent.
You've been gossiping too.
Gossiping. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so, they're both listening in and letting them know that they've been caught. You know, gossiping, and you know, where are you guys? And so she says, keep them talking, just so she can get that sort of, I forget what that instrument
they're
is
bellows
called. Bellows,
yes.
Okay. And so they're she cold. Uses that to make him have, you know, kind of the coal all over them and the soot
all
over their faces.
But again, like, how were they standing that they only had it each on half side of their face?
Well, I'm guessing they were probably cheek to cheek like this and had, you know, some probably. Sort of, yeah. And so, you know, they come in and, you know, they start, first of all, they start coughing and choking on that soot and the coal. And then great. They come back upstairs, you know, with their faces full of that soot. And she's like, oh, isn't it the coal dust twins? For both of them, which is a callback, I think, on a detergent called the Gold Dust Twins, which
yes,
the very offensive logo on the
oh goodness, yeah,
the fabric of the detergent,
the Gold Dust washing powders. It's also yeah, Goldie and Dusty.
Yeah,
they were two comically portrayed African American children.
Comically, or
that's what it says.
Or terribly
comically portrayed. It wasn't, it's not, yes, it was
yeah.
rough. It was not a good, it's one of those things that did not age well, but it was a sign of the times, right?
And that's what she's referring to, except it's a play on words and she's
their slogan.
Oh.
Do you know what their slogan was?
I don't.
Let us do the work for you.
I'm really glad it's not, it's no longer in.
The brand was phased out by the mid 50s as competition grew and as sensibilities changed.
Very much okay.
So
that's what she's referring to when she says the coal dust twins. It was a play on that.
Yes.
And so they're upset and says, well, it looks like we won. So they start giving their menu of, again, they would get breakfast anyway. It's probably the exact same meal they had the day before. And so they both give each of the wives the menu that they'd like for the next day and every day after that. I guess they kind of accept it, or at least we think they do.
If Steubenville was real, if that was a real part of the story that Ethel had heard, then she should have known that it was made up, because that's where Fred's from.
Right.
So it would have been a real, real coincidence.
Yeah, how far is that from you?
Steubenville, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Let me look. Almost 2 hours.
Wow.
Because okay. So it's, I guess it's like really close to the edge between Ohio and Pittsburgh.
Okay. And that's,
and we live up close to the top.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you're right. So, she would have picked up on that town.
Hopefully. I mean,
yeah.
And then, yeah. And then also just a little bit about the Fosters. They're said to live in apartment 3B, mm-hmm. which is the original number of the apartment that the Ricardos get when they switch.
With the Bensons. Yeah.
Yeah. The end of season 2. But in the anniversary presents, the Fosters live in apartment 2A. So
maybe they move too.
maybe after this.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, the men are super excited. I love how Ricky or Fred comes in to join in the fun.
Yeah.
With this. And so this is where the whole scene of the milkman coming in.
Yeah.
There's a little piece of a story that I want to tell. I don't know if you know it, mm-hmm. but about the rehearsal.
Yes.
And the argument. Yeah. So there was, during the rehearsal, Lucy got into a little bit of an argument with Mark Daniels, because he wanted the milkman, who was played by, one second,
Bobby Jellison.
Yes. He wanted the milkman to crawl on the bed, like over top of the bed. Mm-hmm. But Lucy wanted him to just walk around. She's like, there's no reason really for him to crawl across the bed. It's not going to be that funny. So let's not do it. There's no point. And Daniels couldn't really come up with a good reason for why he had to go across the bed. So Jess Oppenheimer was like, okay, Lucy's right. Let's have him just walk around. And I honestly think like crawling across a bed takes longer than just walking around
it's a small bed. It's a tiny bed.
Just walk around it. Right. So I definitely side with Lucy there. But yeah, he comes in and he's trying to hide. Yeah, do you want to tell a little bit about Bobby Jellison?
Yeah, he was born August 21st, 1908 in Des Moines, Iowa. He was known for also being on Petticoat Junction, I Love Lucy a few times, and the Twonky in 1953. He played the milkman or the cottage cheese Casanova, or the
cow juice peddler.
And of course, he was also in season 5, and he plays the bellboy in the Beverly Palms Hotel. It's that LA season that you completely forgot about that existed.
I did not completely forget about it. Just that one episode. Goodness gracious.
And so he plays the
bellboy.
Make
me feel bad.
And I do remember where she, you know, she's always trying to intimidate him in these and takes his butler outfit to go see Cornell Wilde upstairs. And he's funny in these episodes. But yeah. And he also did a 1950 episode of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour set in Las Vegas. So he plays the milkman here. He comes in running, which is hilarious because he's so small. He's carrying a little jug of milk,
his milk containers. And
yeah,
I love this. I love how, you know, he would have had to run into the apartment, right? He's running away. And the thing you're going to do is run into someone's bedroom in the back of the apartment. Like, you wouldn't run around and try to go out the porch. Like, you're going to corner yourself into an apartment. I know they were.
Yeah.
They've made this up. It was a show. But, like, logically, Ricky, Fred, someone would not run into the back bedroom of an apartment and hide. Anyways.
And after him is Mr. Foster.
He hides. Bill Foster, played by Richard Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
This is his second appearance of 8 on the I Love Lucy show.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared, oh my gosh, yeah. He appeared in 5 episodes of The Adventures of Superman also. And he also did a pilot. It failed, but a pilot for a Superboy spinoff.
And relations to George Reeves, who actually played Superman.
No, and who also later guest starred on I Love Lucy. No relation, but he was very large, as we mentioned. And he appeared in comic book themed TV shows, which makes sense because he could either play the good guy or the bad guy, but he's, you know, he plays a big, imposing guy. Mm-hmm. His last association with Lucy was in the 1963 episode of the I Love Lucy show, playing a policeman. So,
okay, a lot of history there. So he comes in running, like we said, he calls him the, cow juice Casanova,
yeah,
cow juice peddler, and cottage cheese Casanova, and so, you know, he's upset that this man has been flirting with his wife, with Grace, and he's got a gun in his hand, again, with the guns in these apartments.
Ah, my goodness. And they should have known, first of all, Lucy, Ethel looks convincingly scared because she doesn't know that it's not real.
Right.
Lucy, on the other hand, talks him down in like 30 seconds.
She's
going to
talk this armed man,
angry man.
Who's in a heat of passion over his wife.
In about 30 seconds.
To calm down, because all that's going to happen is you're going to go to jail. And
he's like, oh, wow, yeah. No,
she should, yeah,
it made him sound so brutish. The men don't suspect a thing, they just, and this is really funny, they just kind of, because Lucy goes, well, you know, none of it's true. And he's like, well, they decide, I guess, if it's true, we were gossiping, we lost. Yeah. And so they get up. And Lucy's breakfast sounds so good.
Do you have it?
I love Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
Love Eggs Benedict. It's like one of my favorite breakfasts. I think it's the hollandaise sauce. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I love hollandaise sauce. A good hollandaise sauce. Because sometimes you get like the store-bought. It's not so good. That and hot chocolate. And hot chocolate and fruit. And it sounds really good. Anyways.
Of course, I'd have that all over the bed. So I'm just going to go with my yogurt.
Be throwing the fruit and...
like Carmen Miranda put
shaking as you're holding the hot chocolate spilling it everywhere. I wanted to mention something. Yeah. Of course, I noticed this when Ethel brings in the tray for Brett. Mm-hmm. The thought is that it came from her kitchen. Yes. She probably did not use Lucy's kitchen to make the breakfast,
right?
And yet there is an Ivy mug.
Ziva's favorites.
Yeah, but
why would
they don't have the same kitchen set, do they? Like,
no,
I don't think they would. And so it was a little goof, but yeah. But anyways, the men leave to go fix this wonderful breakfast that they ordered. See, the women know how to order breakfast, like make them work. Eggs Benedict is not an easy breakfast to make. I mean, you got everything. And so they sit down and milkman pokes his head out and says, you know,
because yeah,
could have come out. She and
there.
Yeah. And Ethel's like, oh, it's safe. You're safe. Because she really thinks that it was real. Mm-hmm. And Lucy, of course, like, wants, you know, can you hand me your purse? And she pays them $5, which is, did you look?
No.
Yeah.
And so Ethel, that's when she realizes, like, what? You totally made them do that. So, oh, because
$54.56, okay. Which means that she just spent $100. But listen, $100 to not have to cook breakfast every morning for a month.
You'd make that bet. You'd do that too.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so Ethel's, like you said, she said, what a break that he chose this apartment to run into. And then when she finally realizes, like, wow, you're even sneakier than I thought.
Yes.
She was, well played. Well played.
That had they, like, yeah. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Well played.
And so then you know, they enjoy it. And so that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
A few things that we forgot to mention. Well, I forgot to mention about before. So the evening that this episode aired, which was March 24th, 1952, when it first aired, Lucille Ball's good friend Mary Wicks appeared in the Studio One presentation, Miss Hargraves. It was on CBS. And this is if you guys don't remember, this was Madame Lamond. She played Madame Lamond about 6 weeks earlier in the ballet.
Yep.
And she shows up in a lot,
yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. And then also when this episode was filmed, February 15th, 1952, Hollywood character actress Ethel Wales passed away. She was 72. She was born in New Jersey, and her final screen credit was actually Lucille Ball's film Fancy Pants in 1950.
Okay.
So that's it for
the gossip
before. But wait, in 2001, that Polish remake.
Oh, that's right.
Pokemon Claire, I love Claire, also had an episode called Rumor, where basically it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to read the synopsis because it's the same.
They worked with the writers of I Love Lucy. So when they did the Polish remake, it was with the help of the Lucy writers.
Yes. So that is the end.
Yes, that was a fun one. I did like that, but only because they bring in new people, and you know
they do, and I like that.
That, yeah,
I so like. I always like when there's guest stars. We did. This is moving on just a teeny bit, but we did mention in one of my posts that we could talk maybe about Lucille Ball's and Desi Arnaz's second marriages. Mm-hmm. And yes, we got a few people saying they'd like that. Yeah. So we might have to do an episode
deep dive into those two marriages. Just, you know, what we've mentioned this before, we like to just work outside of just the episodes. These people had lives.
They I
had
think you other... guys like that too.
Yeah,
I
mean, they had other
nice break
parts of their careers. They had other, you know, aspects of the business and also their personal lives. And we've mentioned this, I think it was last when we did our documentary review, the episode before this, was that they were married to their second spouses longer than they were to each other. And, you know, we should probably, yeah, our next
touch episode on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all, because we don't want to forget them. I think we don't hate the second marriages, you know.
Yeah.
It's just what it was part of their life. And so I think we should talk about it. Also, I was thinking we should put a poll on like our Instagram or something and see if people have questions for us, and we could do another
get to know
about us, what we like about I Love Lucy, our favorite things like that, that we could discuss. And so
we'll talk
about it, but anyway
with that
we've got some other ideas coming up.
Yeah, so thank you
that
so
we
much.
Hope you'll
we
like.
Are narrowing close to 20,000 downloads, which is just amazing. So thank you to all of you that are listening and have listened, have given us feedback, and you know, given us information too. It's just I love it. And find us everywhere on havingaballpod@gmail for emails at gmail.com, havingaballpod on Instagram and Facebook, YouTube, the universe, everywhere.
Yes. All right, wonderful. Thank you guys for listening.
You. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.